The Mentor Moment is a bi-weekly podcast designed specifically for Tennessee Achieves mentors. Hosted by Tennessee Achieves Director of Mentors, Tyler Ford, each episode will feature tips, best practices, and program updates meant to enhance your mentoring experience.
This week's episode features a discussion around the FAFSA, or the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. Thank you so much for joining the Mentor Moment podcast. We look forward to working with you this year.
On today's episode of the Mentor Moment, we wanted to offer you some guidance and insight as it relates to the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or the FAFSA, as it's commonly known. So you may know, all of your promised students are required to complete and submit the 2024-2025 FAFSA by May 15th, 2024, in order to maintain their Tennessee Promise eligibility. The FAFSA is a critical and vital step in a student's college-going journey because whether they plan to use Tennessee Promise or not, this is going to help to make college more affordable. It's going to serve as their application for all forms of federal and state aid and ensures that any forms of scholarship aid they qualify for at the federal or state level will be applied to their tuition account come fall. So the bottom line is, it is a good idea for any student to get their FAFSA filed. And of course, for a Promise student, it's a requirement. What I hope you know as we start this webinar is that for any mentor, the FAFSA can be challenging and it can be a little bit tricky. And while you are there to serve as a resource for your students and answer questions and provide nudges towards filing the FAFSA, we certainly do not expect you to have all of the answers when it comes to filing the FAFSA. If you ever get a question from a student or a concern from a student related to the FAFSA and you just don't know the answer, that's 100% okay. Reach out to mentors@tnachieves.org and we'll be happy to provide you the resources and get the answer needed to that student's question. Like I said, the FAFSA is a critical step in the process, but we also know it can be tricky. So never feel overwhelmed or intimidated in supporting students through the FAFSA filing deadline. The best thing you can do to support them is ensure they're on track to meet the May 15th deadline and let them know that if they ever have questions, you are there to serve as a resource and you can connect them to Tennessee Achieves, their college, or their counselor to make sure those FAFSA questions are answered and handled. And now I want to offer some additional insight into the FAFSA by bringing in a member of the Tennessee Achieves team who provides a ton of FAFSA help on a daily basis to students in her community. I'm excited now to bring in Allison Johnson from the Tennessee Achieves team to share a little bit more on her expertise and the FAFSA itself.
All right, and I'm joined by Allison Johnson from the Tennessee Achieves team. And Allison, I'd like to start off by just having you introduce yourself, share a little bit about your role and what Knox Access is here at Tennessee Achieves.
Absolutely. Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here with you and talk about FAFSA this morning. My name is Allison Johnson. I work as the director of Knox Access here at Tennessee Achieves. And the Knox Access program is a pilot program for 5 years here in Knox County, where we are embedding coaches within the Knox County High Schools, all 16 Knox County High Schools. And we're there once per week for each school, and we're working on college milestones. So we are pushing to get our college going rate a little bit higher here in Knox County and hoping to reach 70% by the end of this year. So a pretty hefty goal, but hoping to see that increase and working with students every day on things like FAFSA. And our goal is to increase the college going rate. So we are working on these milestones such as FAFSA every single day with our high school seniors. And we are really excited to see those getting done as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and I think that's, why we brought you on today's webinar, because right now you are in high schools on a daily basis filing FAFSAs. Can you tell us just a little bit more? I think one of the great pieces of this is the opportunity to learn more about a different piece of our work. Can you just tell us a little bit more about Knox Access, what your team's doing, and what it looks like to be in the high schools?
Absolutely. So we have five coaches here in Knox County, and we are embedded in all 16 Knox County high schools. We work there once per week with students, and we are in partnership with Knox County schools with the counselors there. And we work to make sure that those students are getting done those really important college milestones. We want to make sure they're completing their Tennessee Promise application, of course, but we want to make sure that they're doing all things no matter where they're going, whether it's a four-year, a community college, a TCAT, a high quality apprenticeship, anything that they're choosing to do after high school. We want to make sure that we're there by their side and supporting them. So that's the program that we're working here in Knox County on. We want to increase our college going right here in Knox County to 70% by the end of this year. So we're hoping to see that increase quite a bit. But our students are very close to graduation here soon. So we're really excited to see where they end up going for this fall.
Yeah, you get to kind of see how it all works out and where they end up deciding, which is always fun. And mentors know that feeling too. That's absolutely kind of the name of the game. Before we jump into FAFSA stuff, I do want to cover just one quick piece of housekeeping. You do have the opportunity to ask questions on today's webinar. Baylor is monitoring the chat. She's also monitoring the Q&A box. So if you do have questions, post those there and she'll answer them as we go, but we'll also do a little bit of Q&A here at the end. But my first question specific to the FAFSA, Allison, is can you just kind of share from point A to point B, how does a student successfully file the FAFSA? What do those steps look like? And how can they make sure they're on track for that May 15th deadline?
Absolutely. So as many of you may know, the FAFSA looks a little different this year. We got a revamp and we haven't had one in 40 years. So we're excited to see the new changes and the updates. But, you know, if you're familiar with that FAFSA from last year, it might look a little bit different for you. So I'll just walk you through kind of what steps you need to take for this current FAFSA. The first one is being that both the student and the parent will need an FSA ID or an account. So going to that studentaid.gov website and just hitting create account for both student and parent. They'll both need those in order to electronically sign at the end. And an important step in that is that it does take 3 days for that FSA ID to verify. So just being aware of that waiting period and making sure that they are indeed waiting those 3 days before going into the application. So once they have that account, they've waited their 3 days, they're verified and ready to go. The student can log in to theirs, hit start new form, answer a few questions. It does take, I would say, about 10 to 15 minutes for the student to submit their portion. And just flagging that they will need to invite a contributor on their section. Contributor would typically be a parent. So just inviting their parent to come in. That'll send an invite link over to the parent. And then the parent can log in, do their section, sign, and submit.
Yeah, and I think that's a highlight here. I mean, you know, and we'll get into it later a little bit, but that is a pretty simple process for the student. And I think it's improved to make it a little bit less stressful. And when we say contributor to, you know, we're talking parent or legal guardian. And so, you know, that means that if you have a student who maybe, you know, has a different legal guardian than their birth parents, that person can be the person to contribute and file the FAFSA alongside them. Allison, can you talk a little bit about, you know, while the process sounds a little bit simpler, where are some common roadblocks or challenges that students are facing in the filing process?
Yeah, so I think that 3 day waiting period can be a little confusing. It's maybe not super clear that that happens. Once they create their account, they're excited, they're ready to jump in and get it done. So that has been a little bit of a hiccup. The way that they can tell if that has happened, if they're not waiting long enough, or maybe something didn't verify correctly, they log in, they're going to see a big yellow banner at the top that says, hey, your FSA ID hasn't been verified. We need to check some information for you. Sometimes that's a birth date that was entered wrong, maybe just a letter off on the name, something like that. So just double checking that information. That's been a little bit of a hiccup for some students and parents. And then maybe just making sure that they're answering those beginning questions correctly. So not to get too into the weeds again, but for FAFSA, there is independent versus dependent students. So those are two ways that the FAFSA kind of determines a student's situation. So a student may accidentally answer some questions that would make them an independent student, and when they really need to be a dependent student. So the key to that is just making sure that you're really looking at those questions, answering them accurately, reading them very carefully, and making sure that the situation that you're in is correctly posted on the FAFSA.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Can you talk a little bit about Allison? We talked about independent versus dependent. Who would be considered an independent student in the eyes of FAFSA?
The majority of our students that we're working with, especially the high school seniors, are going to be dependent students and want to be placed as dependent on the FAFSA. So there are a few rare cases where students would be independent. Typically speaking, for FAFSA, that's going to be over 24 years of age. So 18 is not the number that we're looking for. It's 24. Married or has children. So those are the three things that will automatically make you an independent student. A couple of other kind of specific situations that probably would apply more to our high school seniors would be if they have ever been in foster care after the age of 13, a ward of the court, have someone who's a guardian of them that's not a biological parent or adoptive parent. There's a couple of different situations, and that is pretty clearly laid out. There is a section where they're going to check that box and say, hey, like, this is a situation that I'm in, and FAFSA will automatically kind of move them through as an independent student. Now, I will flag one thing on here. There is a question on the FAFSA that does, again, kind of going back to something students seem to be getting stuck on. So there is a question that asks, after they've answered all of these, and it seems like they're probably going to be a dependent student, need to be a dependent student. It'll ask them, hey, are your parents refusing to provide information, refusing to provide tax information, but you're not in any of these specific situations? And some students see that question and they're just a little confused, or maybe they don't want to put their parent on there or something like that. And they answer, yes, my parent refuses to put their information on here. And that will make them an independent student, but it will also make them ineligible for aid. It will make them ineligible for federal and state aid. So that is not the situation we want students in, of course. So making sure on that question that we are answering no, my parents are willing to provide information if they are indeed a dependent student and should be a dependent student.
Yeah, and I think I'll touch on this a little bit too from the mentor perspective. This is a question we get a lot this time of year. It's what is overstepping, or how can a mentor support not only the student, but the parent in filing the FAFSA, because they have a role to play in this as well. And I think, you know, there's kind of two different avenues we see here. We see students saying, hey, my parents haven't filed the FAFSA yet, or my parents will not file the FAFSA. And it's kind of two different things. I think if you have a student reaching out to you and saying, my parents refuse to, will not, reach out to our team and let us know, and we can offer some tips and we can kind of navigate that conversation. And quite honestly, reach out to the student too, so that you're not having to work in that more challenging space. Now, if the student is saying, my parents haven't filed it yet, I think it is perfectly fair for you as a mentor to reach out to the parents. You've got their contact information, and just say, hey, I talked to your student the other day. They sound really excited to start college next fall. I know that filing the FAFSA is the next step. Let me know how I can help. Let me know how we can make sure that you're able to get your part of the FAFSA done by May 15th. You know, if you're nervous about having that conversation, or uncertain, reach out to us and we can help. But I don't think it's unfair or out of bounds for you as a mentor to nudge the parents along if the student is having trouble getting the parent information onto the FAFSA. Because like Allison said, they have a part to play in this. The students need that parent information in order to successfully file the FAFSA. Allison, I've seen some questions in the chat, and you know, I think it's a fair question. The FAFSA sounds like it can take some time. About how long will it take for a student to file the FAFSA, and how early should they start?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I will say, with the new updates this year, there are quite a few less questions. There's less questions. So that's a great thing to hear, right? Like, we want less questions, less things to trudge through. It does pull their tax information in automatically. So yay, we don't have to go line by line anymore. If anyone's familiar with the old FAFSA, that was quite a bit of time to make sure you're hitting all of that in accurately. So I would say students are spending about 10 to 15 minutes doing their section of the FAFSA. Once they invite that contributor, a parent can log in. Parents, it's probably more 5 to 10 minutes. If they have all of their information prepared and ready to go, they can get through it really quickly. What I will say is that sometimes we have some issues on there. Perhaps there's something you're not sure about and you want to come back to it and save it and all of those things. So my recommendation is to start the FAFSA as soon as possible. We want to have this done and completed and done correctly. So waiting until the last minute might kind of make you make a mistake on there, like I said earlier, spell something wrong or put the wrong number in. And that's a situation where the college will then have to come back to the student later and have to correct those things. And that's no fun. So making sure that we're taking our time with it and have the time to take our time with it.
I think that's right. I think that I'll add two things there. I think it's always valuable from a mentor perspective to really encourage your students to pay attention to detail and take their time with this. I think especially 17 and 18 year olds today think that every online form takes 2 to 3 minutes. And that may be true in a lot of cases, but it's not true for the FAFSA. And it does take a little bit of time, it's shorter now, but still some time. And they really do want to take the time to double check that their social security number is right, their contact information is right, because to Allison's point, it's going to save them a headache later on just by taking a little bit of a time and a little attention to detail. And I think as a mentor, encouraging them to pay that attention is really valuable. And it's important that you offer that sort of encouragement. I'll add here too that, you know, if you were at one of my team meetings, you probably heard me say this, but Allison's point is exactly right. We do not want students waiting until May 13th or May 14th to file their FAFSA. Just because that is the deadline does not mean they should wait until the deadline. Quite honestly, that's the time when they're getting ready for high school graduation, summer is starting. They probably do not want to be sitting inside filling out a federal financial aid application. And so encourage your students to get it done now. Encourage your students to get it out of the way so that they're not having to worry about it during that period where, again, they're probably not really wanting to sit down and file a FAFSA. Allison, can you touch on how a student will know when their FAFSA is done? I think this is a popular question we're getting from mentors, from students right now, and it's a fair question.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say when the student section is done, FAFSA is really good about saying you're almost there, right? So they've signed it and it will say, hey, you still need to put your parent information in. So once the student has done their section, the parent has done their section, the student will receive an email that says, here's what's next. It will have a confirmation number on there that the student has completed their FAFSA. And it will also have any kind of like banners or errors if something wasn't entered correctly. So for example, if a student does answer that question that their parents refused to enter and they should be a dependent student, that email at the very bottom will have a red banner that says, hey, the way that you have filled this out shows that you're not going to be eligible for student or for state and federal aid. So that's a good thing if you're a mentor and you want to see that confirmation email and just say, hey, good job. Maybe just double check that there's not a red or yellow banner at the bottom there. So confirmation email to the student. And then when the parent finishes, that same page that earlier said you're almost there will have a big congratulations on it. And so that is a good way to know that the student is done. You can also log in and it will say either in review or processed. So those are the two kind of terms we're looking for to know that it's done. In review just means it hasn't gotten fully through yet, but they have submitted. There's nothing they need to do, no further action to take at this time, and they have completed it. So in review or processed are the two things we're looking for if the student logs into their account.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, as a Tennessee Achieve staff, that's what we'll be encouraging you to encourage your students to look for over the next few weeks. While the FAFSA is new and it is improved, this has resulted in a slight delay in terms of when we find out which students have and have not filed the FAFSA. And so Normally, this time of year, we would be updating in Tennessee Achieves Connect, the mentor portal, showing you who's done it, who hasn't. Truthfully, we do not yet have access to that information. We're anticipating right now it'll be mid to late April, but we will, of course, keep you updated in those Monday emails to let you know when we have it and when it's going to be populated in Connect so that you can begin really tailored communication to your students based on who's done it, who hasn't, and know where your students stand on this requirement. But for now, the best thing you can do is, to Allison's point, make sure they're seeing that banner, make sure they're logging in and making sure it shows in reviewed or processed, because that's how we can make sure they're as far as they can go with the FAFSA and that it is in fact filed for right now. Allison, I think we talked earlier on about how, you know, mentors are there to serve as a resource. They are there to help make sure students are getting reminders and on track to file their FAFSA by May 15th, but never want a mentor to feel like they need to go step by step through the FAFSA because it is challenging. And you know, you and I have filed FAFSA for many years and we still need help from time to time. And can you touch on what resources exist, whether it's in the community, whether it's through the college, to help make sure a student is getting their FAFSA filed?
Absolutely. Well, for starters, we're always here, right? So Tennessee Achieves is a great resource. But we also have some resources on Federal Student Aid's website. They can explain what each question kind of means and break that down for you if there's some issues there. Our friends at THEC also have a line-by-line webinar every Monday night through April. So if a student is wanting to get that like step by step, let's walk through it and get everything done together, that's a great option as well. So logging into those, I think, is good. And College for TN also has some resources on their website if there's any questions. I will say I do know the Knox County local. If we have any Knox County folks, for our Spanish-speaking students, Centro Espano has been a great resource for those students and parents who need translation help or other things for our Spanish-speaking community.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And just know too that a couple other kind of general resources statewide that'll prove helpful. Our team, again, I'll echo that. You know, we can get you set up or get your students set up with someone on our team who can help with the FAFSA. But the same can be said for the Students Financial Aid Office. I've been visiting colleges across the state these past few weeks, and every single one of them has said, send any student our way, whether they plan to go here for sure, whether they're still uncertain, and we can help them get their FAFSA filed. So colleges can be really resourceful here. The same can be said for a student's high school counselor. I would say they're you know, really on the front lines in a lot of communities of FAFSA filing, and we're so grateful to all of them for all they do, because our FAFSA filing success statewide is truly a grassroots team effort, and counselors are at the center of that. So if you do have a student who's having FAFSA filing challenges, connect them to their counselor, say, hey, stop by and see if they can help. Or again, get in touch with our team and we can answer those questions and support your students in getting that FAFSA filed. Allison, before I bring in Baylor and we go through some questions we've had, do you have any additional tips, tricks you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think like we have kind of said already, it's really about starting early and taking your time, making sure you're answering questions accurately, really reading them carefully. I know, like you said, 17, 18 year olds, sometimes they want to just like get it done, move through it really quickly. And I understand that, but this is a really important application and it's going to affect their aid. So we want to make sure they get as much federal aid and state aid as possible, everything that they need, and get this done correctly and on time. And just making sure that you're supporting students, encouraging them. I've heard from a few students, even parents, that they're just nervous to start it because it sounds really intimidating and scary. So for mentors, just I think reaching out and knowing that someone is there and can help them and encourage them is a huge piece of this.
I think that's so true. And actually, this is just popping into my brain, but I think it was you who a couple of weeks ago shared a story about a student who came to you and filed their FAFSA, in part because their mentor had been kind of reminding them and encouraging them to get these things done. So like your reminders and your nudges to students help to get a student to an individual like Allison who's going to sit down and make sure that's FAFSA filed. So it does truly make a difference. And we're so, so grateful to everyone on this webinar and everyone who serves as a mentor for helping to nudge students and helping them to get across that finish line for FAFSA and all other college-going action items that they might have between now and fall enrollment. So we're grateful to you, and we're appreciative for everyone who's supported students and answered the call to serve as a mentor this year. I want to bring in now Baylor on our team, who's been monitoring the chat. I've seen it very, very active, which I love to see. And Baylor, if you want to bring any questions that we've had, any popular questions, we'll be happy to take those.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler. I think one of our questions is, obviously, you have to submit your parents' tax information. What year would that be, Allison?
That is going to be the 2022 taxes. So if they're worried about that, they just haven't quite completed their taxes yet, that's okay. It should be from the last year. So they should be able to have all that information back by now.
That's awesome. And what if your financial situation has changed since 2022? Like, you had a job and you've maybe been laid off since then. What can parents and students do in those cases?
Absolutely. So we do recommend that they fill out still using the 2022 taxes. That is what it asks for. But they can reach out to their college's financial aid office and discuss with them the changes that have been made. And they can work with them to make sure that they can get additional resources if they need them.
Really great. And then our final question is, what happens if you have some technical issues? I know we've had an overhaul in the FAFSA, and so sometimes that error message pops up at the top. What can parents and students do in those cases?
That is a great question. So there are quite a few different errors that have come up. I will say they're getting better, so hopefully they aren't popping up quite as much. But the recommendation that I would make is a kind of a catch-all for a lot of them, is closing out the browser, logging out of studentaid.gov, and then clearing your history, like clearing browsing data or history, and then trying to log back in. And that should allow them to go through. If it still pops up with an error, give me a call. I'm happy to help.
Great. And if a student has maybe a specific tricky situation, who should they contact? I know that there's different, every family has different situations, different things come up. Who should they contact in getting help navigating those type of situations?
Yeah, well, they're always more than welcome to reach out to Tennessee Achieves. We can help kind of walk through those steps, especially if it's kind of a sticky situation and they're not sure. But again, Tyler mentioned counselors are a good resource. They may know the student situation a little bit better and can navigate that as well. And also, they can call the helpline for FAFSA. So there is a federal aid helpline that they can reach out to that will help them walk through those steps as well.
Awesome. Well, that's great. I think that's all of our questions on the end of the Q&A box.
I'll actually jump in here too. There's a couple that have just been added that are good questions. Oh. I want to touch on them. The first question that I've seen is, in order to make edits, the students would have to have submitted or filed the FAFSA. The student can go back and forth as they're filing to make changes, but it is true that once they've filed, they're going to have to log in and essentially indicate they want to make edits and change the FAFSA they've already filed. So as they're filing, they can make changes, but once it has been submitted, they're going to have to reopen it basically and resubmit that FAFSA. Anything to add there, Allison, on the edits front? Just want to make sure we get it all.
No, that's perfect. Okay. Yeah, after they submit it has to go into that processed status in order for them to make edits. But while they're working through it prior to submission, they can go in and out, make edits, change things, save halfway through if they need to, anything like that.
Yeah. The other question is, does the FAFSA take into consideration if multiple children are in college at the same time?
It does. So it will ask how many students are in the household and how many students are currently in college. There is some questions around how much that will affect aid this year, but it does still ask that question and make sure that is part of the algorithm, if you will. But I will say I did maybe see this pop up as well. The parent, if they have an FSA ID and they have multiple students in college, they will still use that same account. So parent, if they're in college, high school, doesn't matter. Parent still has to be on there as long as they're a dependent student. And they can use the same account for each student. So they're just logging in, I've had a few twins. We've had some quadruplets that had to do it all in the same year. Yes, quadruplets. We had four. So we did, you know, all the way through, and parent had to do a section for each kid. So yes, you can use that same account to log in, and you're just going to see two invitations there from each of your students or more.
That's a great point. Well, thank you all. Thanks to Baylor. Thanks to Allison for joining us today. And I see, too, that we've had a lot of questions, and we try as best we can to keep up with these during the webinar. But if you need additional guidance, if you have a really specific student question, pass that along. You can send it to mentors@tnachieves.org, and we will be happy to address that. And that remains true for any FAFSA filing question. You know, if you reach out to mentors, we can get in touch with Allison, we can get in touch with a counselor and make sure to get you the best information possible for that student. Because again, while this information is all great and it's going to prove so helpful and so valuable as you're connecting with students on the FAFSA, we still, you know, don't expect you to remember it all. And know that there's going to be challenges, there's going to be tricky questions, and you're more than welcome, as a matter of fact, encouraged to reach out to us, and we'll be happy to support those questions. So Allison, Baylor, thanks for joining us this morning. And to every mentor who's been on, we really appreciate it. And know that we're always here if you have questions, and don't hesitate to reach out. But we hope you have a great rest of your Friday.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode of The Mentor Moment. And as always, feel free to reach out to us via email at mentors@tnachieves.org or follow us on social media on all of our handles @tnachieves. We look forward to seeing you guys soon. Thank you for serving as a volunteer.